to another edition of Be Conscious. I am Damian Barling, and I thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for doing all that stuff. If your first episode, well, we've got a lot to talk about, and we're going to get right into it. It's a couple of things I want to touch on. I want to play a quick soundbite for you just because it's kind of going to be a running theme throughout the day.
You're such a fucking hoe. When the first time they ask you, you want smart brother.
Okay, so
steel.
just go on and remember that. Remember your boy there for a second. We're going to get back to that. I promise it's going to make sense. And some of you may have noticed I put the old parental advisory explicit lyrics on this episode, not necessarily because of me, but because of that clip. So I'm assuming most of you aren't listening to this in the car with your kids. But that won't be the last time you hear that clip, just for the record. So keep that of note. It won't be a common thing here throughout the show, but I did label this episode a little bit differently because that clip is important to what we're doing today. So as I said, I want to get right into it. We'll give out all the social media stuff here in just a heartbeat. And the first thing I want to touch on before we get to Kanye and before we get to some of the different things going on in this world, I wanted to shout out the Carolina Panthers and show some love for Eric Reed. I'm so happy that Eric Reed is on an NFL roster. My man wasn't in a Nike ad. There's no "I'm with Eric, I'm with Reed" sweatshirts going around. But dude was with Colin Kaepernick day one. He stood and knelt right by his side from the moment Cap went from sitting on the bench to kneeling next to his teammates. And he has kind of been forgotten in all this, as he is a Pro Bowl safety who just got on an NFL roster over the last couple of days. The Carolina Panthers signed him, and I love that. I'm happy about it. And if you think that is going to keep Eric Reed from talking about the things that are important to him, you're sorely mistaken. I want to play a clip from his introductory press conference with the Carolina Panthers for you, and just take a listen to some of the things my man Eric Reed had to talk about.
Can you explain how strongly you feel about the issue of empowerment, the one that you're standing behind, why that was worth that potential risk?
I'll put it this way. Yeah. Next year will be 2019. It'll mark 400 years since the first slaves touched the soil in this country. That's 400 years of systemic oppression. That's slavery, Jim Crow, new Jim Crow, mass incarceration, you name it. The Great Depression, they come out with the New Deal. Black people didn't have access to those government stimulus packages. The New Deal set up what is known as the modern-day middle class. We didn't have access to those programs, the GI Bill, Social Security, home loans, none of that. So this has been happening since my people have gotten here. And so I just felt the need to say something about it.
Again, that was his introductory press conference with the Carolina Panthers. Eric Reed's not shying away from anything. He still is who he is, and I love that. And he went on to talk about the national anthem. He went on to talk about the collusion case with the NFL. That's not gone just because he was signed by an NFL team. And I think that's important to note because I think the NFL probably had that in the back of their mind. And there's a lot of things a lot of other things worth discussing when it comes to this, because there's a lot of speculation. Remember, the Carolina Panthers, they have a new owner, and there has been rumblings. There were even rumblings back then when he was going through the process of becoming an NFL owner that he was really frustrated by what was going on with Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed. Now, again, you could take that for whatever it's worth. It's something we'll dig into a little bit more as the weeks go on. But I'm thrilled that Eric Reed is on a roster for nothing else. I mean, you have his voice out there. You see that he's not shy from using it at all. But he's a hell of a ball player, and he deserves to be out there on the field. He's a great voice to be out there on the field. Remember, he also left the Players Coalition, which, by the way, has anybody heard anything about the Players Coalition recently? Anything? I haven't. I haven't heard nothing. I've seen various teams partner, like the Chicago Bears did something great, like they're partnering with different groups around Chicago to help with social injustice issues and all that. That's fantastic. But that's the Chicago Bears. Like, that's completely separate from the Players Coalition. I haven't heard a thing about them. I did notice, and I can't say I've paid attention to it since then, but I noticed game one in front of the world that Thursday night when the Philadelphia Eagles got their rings, I noticed Malcolm Jenkins kept his fist down. Yeah, I don't know if he's been doing it since then, but I noticed that day when all eyes were on the Philadelphia Eagles, he didn't do it. By the way, Eric Reed did all of that. He did that entire inductory press conference with the Carolina Panthers in a hashtag I'm with Cap t-shirt. So that's worth noting in all of this, man. That's still Eric Reed. He's not shying away from anything. Now, let's go to what's going to be the central focus, really, of today's conversation. That's Kanye West. And I'm sure everybody has caught up. If you're not, I'm going to help you out a little bit. Kanye West hosted the season premiere of Saturday Night Live. And we'll get to my thoughts on that in just a few minutes as well. He performed, you know, a couple of songs. And then in that moment when the credits roll, usually it's the guest stands in front of the cast, says, "Hey, thank you so much for joining us," says a couple of words. "We'll see you next time." And everybody hugs and the music rolls and the credits are rolling. Well, that's not what happened this time. Camera comes back on. Kanye takes a hat out of his pocket, a red Make America Great hat again, puts it on and goes on this incoherent rant about Democrats and Trump and racism and black people's treatment of him since he announced he supports Donald Trump and all this different nonsense. And I say nonsense because if you listen to Kanye talk, he talks in a damn near incoherent manner. He posted some videos on, you know, some social media platform, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I don't know what it was, but there were videos of him calling out different rappers, calling out different artists, calling out different people because they keep mentioning his wife. Now, I'll save my thoughts for getting upset when you married Kim Kardashian and are upset that other people are talking about her. But I get it. It's your wife. You want to defend her. It's pretty simple. You could be pretty clear. Yo, don't bring up my wife's name. Yo, don't mention my wife's name again. How simple is that? Not for Kanye. Unless Kanye's writing lyrics, he's incoherent when he speaks. He was sitting there talking, he was calling out Nick Cannon, he's calling out all these different people, and none of it made any sense. But it all boiled down to, quit talking about my wife. He was all out of breath. It was like he was running wind sprints in between his takes. So I say that to only say, you give him a live microphone in front of a pretty large national television audience, and he's trying to string together a political conversation. This was what happens when stupid people have platforms. If you want to argue that Kanye West musically is a genius, okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. But outside of the music world, oh man, this dude is digging himself a grave he's not going to be able to get himself out of. So following his anti-Democrat, pro-Trump, in whatever point he was trying to make about racism rant that SNL eventually cut off, that Chris Rock was laughing at, that Chris Rock is looking at like, oh my God, man, what is wrong with this dude? A couple hours later, he went to Twitter in an effort to tell us kind of in the same vein, because remember, this is Kanye West right here.
One thing is people try to minimize me to artists, hip hop, black community. Yeah, I'm always going to represent that, but I also represent the world. When you hear about slavery for 400 years, that sounds like a choice.
Ah, yes.
Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all?
Yes, slavery was a choice. Remember, that's Kanye right there. Now, of course, he backtracked that several days later after he saw the fallout and apologized for it. Oh, that's not what I meant. Come on, man. That's not what I meant. I'm Kanye. It's cool. So, wearing his MAGA hat, Kanye tweeted, "This represents good and America being whole again. We will no longer outsource to other countries. We build factories here in America and create jobs. We will provide jobs for all who are free from prisons as we abolish the 13th Amendment. Message sent with love. All right. He followed up again. The 13th Amendment is slavery in disguise, meaning it never ended. We are the solution that heals. A couple more hours go by. He gets some feedback. Now, Kanye diehards are trying to decipher what all of this means. They're trying to figure out what the hell Kanye West is talking about. And rightfully so, because quite honestly, none of us know. Whoa, not abolish, but amend. Let's amend the 13th Amendment, he tweeted. We apply everyone's opinions to our platform. Okay. Then he goes back. I don't know what the relationship is with Kanye West and TMZ, but that seems to be his go-to because Kanye went back to TMZ.
My abolish was the wrong language. I misspoke by saying abolish.
My bad.
Amend is the right language. And what's awesome, I don't say dope because it's there's power in words. So lovely. What's beautiful about our Constitution is we can amend it, right? So.
Right. We can amend the 13th Amendment. Again, no clarification, no follow-up, and I don't expect the people at TMZ to follow up with a hard-hitting question. Like, what about the 13th Amendment do you want to amend? For those of you who don't know, the 13th Amendment reads as such. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for a crime, wherefore the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Part two, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Okay, so again, Twitter attempts to figure all of this out. Was he saying slavery shouldn't have been abolished? I don't know. You don't know. Because he never said. He never elaborated. Again, this is what happens when stupid people have a platform. He's trying so desperately to make it sound like he knows what he's talking about. He's trying so hard to defend, hey, I'm all about Donald Trump, but hey, I'm all about black people. I'm all about criminal justice reform. Just like my wife. Remember, my wife was used as a photo op. That's what kills me about these people. That's what kills me about all those black pastors that sat around that table. That's what kills me about Kim Kardashian. Was it Lester Holt who had Kim Kardashian on the show? And you could see the moment she realized she was used as a photo op by Donald Trump. Like, you see her facial expression change, the makeup just drain off her face. Kanye ain't figured out. He's just a little black boy for the MAGA crowd. Which this is going to get better as we go along. So just follow me here. Washington Post attempted to figure all this out. Again, I don't know what he was trying to say. I don't know if he was trying to say slavery should have been abolished or shouldn't have been abolished. I'm not sure if he was trying to say the part about involuntary servitude should be amended. Here's what Megan Flynn of the Washington Post wrote. There's a fair chance he was referring to what's called the 13th Amendment's exception clause, as many speculated on Twitter. It's the part of the amendment that literally allowed slavery and involuntary servitude to continue across the country on plantations and within the barbed wire fences of prisons. Scholars and prisoners advocates argue that its impact is still felt today through prison labor. Now, what Megan wrote right there, particularly there at the end about scholar and prisoners advocates argue that the impact is still felt today, is 100% true. There very much is a belief that legalized slavery is a thing. And the 13th Amendment was just the 13th, 14th and 15th Amendments are like Reconstruction era amendments put in to give black people the rights they had been denied for so long. And I tried not to chuckle when I said to give black people the rights they had been denied so long, because the Reconstruction era, it's not talked about enough. The Reconstruction era, black people were thriving or starting to, especially given where we were coming from. But then what happened? Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on here? Yo, man, we just lost a war. We've got to completely rebuild the South. We don't have enough manpower to rebuild the South. We need help. Oh, you know what? Peep this clause in the 13th Amendment. Oh, yeah. I know what we can do here. Hey, look at that colored person over there. They're loitering. Arrest them. Throw them in jail. Get them down here to Georgia and help us rebuild. So Kanye was talking about abolishing prison slavery. Right? That was it. I don't know. You don't know. Why? Because he never told us. But let's just say for a second that that's what he was trying to do. Okay. But he wasn't articulate enough to make that point on Saturday Night Live. He wasn't even articulate enough to make that point on Twitter. He had to wait for someone at the Washington Post to bring it up, write an article, and then Kanye's like, yeah. That's what I meant. That's exactly what I'm talking about. So instead of talking about the 13th Amendment and creating confusion, why don't you acknowledge the clause in the 13th Amendment? Because when people see the 13th Amendment, they think, well, it's what got rid of slavery. There's a fantastic documentary. It's called 13th. About how slavery was never truly abolished. No one's looking down on Kanye for that. Except for the fact that he's unable to articulate that. Except for the fact that it is all masked behind this pro-Trump, anti-Democrat, if I was worried about racism, I would have left America rant. He actually undermined the people who are trying to fix this and have been for decades. I mentioned the documentary. Ava DuVernay. Michelle Alexander, who wrote the New Jim Crow, someone I'm desperate to get on this podcast. That dude is undermining all of the work that they've done. He's grandstanding. He ain't about making a difference. He's about drawing attention to himself. This isn't about anything but Kanye. When has Kanye ever been about anything but Kanye? Think this is about criminal justice reform? Man, this isn't about criminal justice reform. You think Kim Kardashian being at the White House was about criminal justice reform? Stop. Don't sell me that. Don't sell me that. I'm not stupid. It's about them. Kim thought she was using Donald. Donald all the while was like, ha 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 ha. Look what I got. When those 2020 campaign commercials start airing, you don't think Kanye West is going to be in one? You don't think an archived photo of Kim Kardashian is going to be in one? You don't think it's an accident that he was supposed to have an album drop the day he did that appearance on SNL? You see everybody's response to this tweet? Not everybody's. I take that back. I apologize. It wasn't everybody's response to the tweet. Did you see a lot of people's response to that MAGA tweet with the hat and the 13th Amendment? It was, when's your album dropping? Yo, your album was supposed to drop yesterday. Yo, your album was supposed to drop today. And nobody worried about what Kanye says politically. They just want to hear his album. Which is dangerous. Because that means you're continuing to support this nonsense. You're continuing to support this. See, you'll rally around Colin Kaepernick. You'll rally around social injustices. You'll rally around Black Lives Matter. But someone takes your music away. Whoa. It's amazing how someone takes black entertainment away and suddenly we get defensive. Watching people defend Bill Cosby. I have never wanted to get rid of Twitter. I've never wanted to get rid of social media, period, as badly as I have over the last couple of weeks. Even all the beatings that I take on social media from some of the various things that I talk about on my radio show, I've never wanted to get rid of it as bad as when I watch activists try to defend Bill Cosby, because they think Bill Cosby got a raw deal because he's black. You'll see comparisons between Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein. Like, Bill Cosby's going to jail. Why isn't Harvey Weinstein in jail? And it's like, yo, things can be equally bad. Like, yeah, there can be some. If you want to argue there's some criminal injustice there, okay? I'm listening. Got to dig into Harvey Weinstein a little bit more, find out a little bit more about what's going on there. But I'm listening. I'm intrigued. Tell me about it. But if you're trying to argue that Bill Cosby isn't as bad, or we're trying to minimize sexual assault, which is happening at an extraordinary rate in this country. It's basically the new thing, minimizing sexual assault. And it's, of course, it's led by Donald Trump. We'll get to all of that here in just a minute. But you take away, how many of y'all still listening to R. Kelly? Just, you got R. Kelly in your playlist? You still got that special, that 90s R&B mix you turn to? You still got that special slow jam mix you go to on the weekends? Still got Bump and Grind and Honey Love on the playlist? Oh, for real? Okay. How's that dude treating black women? You good with the way that dude's treating black women? Oh, good for you. I can't separate the two. I can't separate Kanye's music from these outbursts. And these outbursts, man, are dangerous. And if you don't understand the danger of an individual with a platform like Kanye West having the backing of the MAGA crowd is, ooh, stay tuned because I got some more for you. Remember when we had, if you're new to the show, go into our archives. We had Estead Herndon on the show. Estead writes for the New York Times. And he's been covering a rally election in New York. And we talked about briefly, because he had been writing about it at the time, doing some research, but we had talked about Antonio Delgado, who many years ago was he was a hip hop artist, but he was a conscious hip hop artist. You know, he wrote about the things that like Mos Def and Common wrote about. And he's also, by the way, a Rhodes Scholar and a Harvard graduate. And we had told you, he's a Harvard Law graduate, and we had told you at that time, this was several months ago, that there was a pretty strong undercurrent of racism going on because he's running in a predominantly white district, which means he's running against the incumbent is a white Republican. Well, they started dropping some political ads this week. And guess what the focus of his political ads were against Antonio Delgado? They called him a big city rapper whose lyrics suggest that he's misogynistic and racist and un-American. That's what Republicans said. Can I draw your attention to something real quick?
You're such a fucking hoe. When the first time they ask you, you want sparkling or
steel? Yeah. That's Kanye's new track. So, following Kanye's appearance on Saturday Night Live, Donald Trump tweeted about it. And he wrote, "Like many, I don't watch Saturday Night Live, even though I past hosted it. No longer funny, no talent, no charm. Just a political ad for the Dems. Word is that Kanye West, who put on a MAGA hat after the show, despite being told no, was great. He's leading the charge. So in New York, a candidate who is a Rhodes Scholar, a Harvard graduate, and was a conscious rapper decades ago is labeled as a misogynistic, racist, un-American big city rapper. Meanwhile, the guy leading the charge.
You're such a fucking hoe."
It's funny, man. White people love to tell people of color that they're pulling the race card. When black people point out racism, when people of color point out racism, white people are quick to say, "You're always pulling the race card. That's all you got." Let a white person's power be threatened, like it is being in New York right now. What card you think they reaching for? "Oh, no, this isn't racism. This is just facts. This is just what it's about." Oh, convenient. It's convenient when terms like misogynistic and racist can be used. Meanwhile, your boy, the president of the United States, the leader of your party, Kanye West, leading the charge.
You're such a fucking hoe.
Yeah. By the way, that SNL episode was bad. It was bad for a lot of reasons. Because so much of it centers around that cold open skit. And this week they had Matt Damon play the role of Brett Kavanaugh. And they did the whole the hearing with Kavanaugh and the sex crimes, you know, attorney that was there and all of those different things that were going on. And, you know, I was talking about this on my radio show. It to me, it wasn't funny. And the reason it wasn't funny is because it was too real. Now, as big of a clown as I think Donald Trump is, I can recognize that when Alec Baldwin plays Donald Trump, there's a level of over-exaggeration there, whether it's facial expressions, whether it's words, whatever. He's playing into Donald Trump's real-life characteristics, but he's exaggerating them, and that's what makes it funny. Watching Matt Damon play Brett Kavanaugh and huff and puff and scream and yell, like that's what actually happened. Now, there were some points that were funny. The calendar was funny. The I'm a keg half full type of guy. That's funny. But overall, the presentation of it was like, man, this was real. Like, this really happened. Like, this isn't funny. All of those white dudes sat up there and screamed and yelled and huffed and puffed because a woman said she was sexually assaulted. And so what happened a couple of days later? Even Fox News said, man, Christine Blasey Ford, she's a credible witness. That's Donald Trump's soundboard. They're basically they're not even media at this point. They're just Donald Trump's mouthpiece. Even they said, yeah, she's credible. This is to be taken very seriously. So what happened a couple days later? Donald Trump openly mocks Christine Blasey Ford at a rally in the exceptionally white and only recently desegregated Mississippi. And I'm not making that up, by the way. If you don't know the desegregation process in Mississippi, look it up. Like, you'll be stunned. But yeah, openly mocks her, which is no surprise. There's nothing surprising about that at all. We've normalized sexual assault just in the same way that we've normalized racism. Donald Trump says at that same rally after standing on, I don't know if he was at the White House or wherever that clip was being filmed, but he says it's a scary time to be a young man. It's a scary time to be a young man because they can be accused of something they didn't do and their life will be in tatters. Their life will be shattered. Oh, for real? Let's be clear here. Donald Trump isn't talking about young men. He's talking about young white men. Because if you want to talk about a scary time for young men, let's talk about the black men being shot by police officers around the country who turns out they didn't do anything wrong. You want to talk about a scary time? Let's talk about a Dallas police officer who opens the door of a black dude's house and shoots him because she thinks she's in her house. Nah, Donald Trump isn't saying it's a scary time to be a young man. Because he certainly doesn't have any concern about innocent young black men around this country. He certainly wasn't concerned when he condemned the Central Park Five to death after a white woman was raped in Central Park. Took out an ad and said, bring back the death penalty. Kill these five individuals who went to prison and then were completely exonerated. Yo, it wasn't them. Donald Trump wasn't worried about young men there. Donald Trump wasn't worried about young men being accused of something they didn't do then. Donald Trump was living when the city of New York had to pay out $41 million to those people. And in 2016, at the peak of his racially charged campaign, despite every single piece of evidence to the contrary, despite the fact that the case was overturned and a settlement was paid, Donald Trump screamed all five of them were guilty and they should have never have been released from jail. Donald Trump is not worried about young men. He's worried about white, rich, spoiled brats. That's what he's worried about because that's what he is. That's what he's always been. Of course he's going to mock a sexual assault victim. Of course he's going to mock multiple sexual assault victims. Why? Because he's a sexual assaulter. Why? Because his ex-wife has accused him of rape. Why? Because he doesn't respect women. Which is why every single time I see the stat that it was a 52% of white women voted for Donald Trump, I'm stunned. Because white women decided it's more important to be white than be a woman. If you're if you're in that 52% of white women who voted for Donald Trump and you're sexually assaulted, how the hell do you complain about it? How do you go to someone and say this person sexually assaulted me? Oh, for real? Didn't you vote for Donald Trump? Yeah? Didn't you use hashtag I'm with Brett on your social media account? Yeah? Oh, I can't help you. Because you signed off on that behavior. And if you're saying you're not signing off on that behavior, what you're saying is it's okay if it happens to another woman. It's not okay if it happens to me. Can't have it both ways. I know people are going to be offended by that. Be mad. You know where to find me. But if you're in that 52%, one, I get it. You're probably not listening to this. This isn't catered programming for you, and I understand that. But if you know a white woman in that 52% that voted for Donald Trump, you tell them, yo, man, what would you do if your boss came on to you? What would you do if this dude at the grocery store grabbed your ass as you was walking by? Or worse, what Brett Kavanaugh did to Dr. Ford, pinned you down, put his hand over your mouth before you were able to get away. What'd you do? Would you be okay going public with it so you could be mocked? Would you be okay telling the police, knowing they might not believe you, knowing that it's one of the most difficult crimes to prove, if not the most difficult crime to prove? And how could you do it when you have signed off on that type of behavior? When you have said the president of the United States can conduct himself in this way. Hell, why can't I? Why can't your boss? Why can't the dude at the grocery store? Why can't anyone you know conduct themselves in the same manner that Donald Trump does? That Brett Kavanaugh does? See Lindsey Graham up there screaming? Brett Kavanaugh up there screaming? You think a woman can act like that? What if Dr. Ford had acted the way that those two did? Do I need to refresh you on white privilege? I'm not going to. I'm not going to refresh your memory on white privilege. What I'm going to tell you to do, if you've never done it, if you're new to the podcast, go into the archives and listen to the episode called White Fragility with Dr. Robin DiAngelo. Listen to that. If you're not familiar with what white privilege is, if you're not familiar with what happened on the Senate floor being white privilege, white male privilege, look at that. Go take a look. You put all this stuff together, man, and it's impossible to believe. Like, this is happening. This is our world. And the guy leading the charge. The guy leading the charge, he's leading the way. He was so great.
You're such a fucking
of course.
Hoe. When the first time they ask you, you
of course that's his deal. Record that's out right now. Why wouldn't it be? Sexual assault has been as normalized as racism. Why not? If you've never seen the Chappelle joke that he did on his, I think it was the second Netflix special where he's just kind of sitting around the club talking. And he's talking about having like $25,000 in his backpack? Go listen to that joke. Because it's a joke in that there's a moment where you go, holy crap, I know what he's talking about. And that's the dude Kanye West is backing right there. Do y'all see the danger in that? Do you see why when that album drops, you shouldn't download it? You shouldn't listen to it? First of all, and let's just be clear, Kanye West aside, his idiotic tweets and behavior aside, this song is trash. This song is absolute garbage. His performance on Saturday Night Live was garbage, and Kanye ain't put a good album out in multiple albums. So let's stop holding out for the College Dropout. Let's stop holding out for that because it's not it. I don't know if that dude is gone. I don't know if he's incapable. I don't know what it is. But that clip is trash. This dude, Kanye's trying to get Colin Kaepernick in a room with Donald Trump. There's another thing that he said when he was talking to his buddies over at TMZ. Yeah, I'm going to try to sit these two down together. That ain't going to happen, Kanye. Ain't going to happen, bro. Because Cap ain't going to be a photo op. Ain't going to be a photo op like them pastors were. Well, one of them pastors, I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are in California. I know a lot are in Sacramento, surrounding areas in Sacramento. Well, one of those dudes from Sacramento. Can someone tell him, can someone send this to him? Tell him what a clown he was for sitting around that table. Talking about the greatest president we've ever had. Oh, yeah? Okay. What'd you get out of that? You got played, dude. Kim Kardashian, you got played. Kanye West, you're getting played, man. Hey, but good for you. You're true to your convictions, right? You may not know what the hell you're talking about, but you're staying true. It's what I believe in. I believe in Donald. Okay? You don't recognize the dangers of having Donald Trump. Dude tweeted about the African-American unemployment rate again this week. Like, he's responsible for black folks having jobs. Basically saying to you, black people, look at what I have done for you. Look at all the good I have done for you. Black people, I have enriched your lives. Why? Why would you vote for Democrats? Why? Why would you be so loyal to the Democratic Party? Look at all that I've done for you. You know who else did that? Donald Sterling, former owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. He said the same thing when he thought no one was listening. Look at all that I did for those people. I've enriched their lives. I don't want them at my games. I don't want them around me. I don't want them in my home. But look how good I've made their lives. I'm good for black people. Rich white people think they're good for black people. Kanye West thinks that rich white people are good for black people. And I hope everybody remembers that when Kanye's album drops. I hope everybody remembers that when Kanye announced some tour that's going to come to your city. I hope everybody remembers that when his $220 shoe comes out. I hope everybody remembers that when Kanye's tweet comes out because his shoes ain't selling, his record ain't selling, his tour ain't selling. He says, why don't y'all love me no more? Y'all could look at him and say, dude, you just a fucking hoe. I'm Damian Barling. You want to connect with the show, you can. At Damian Barling on Twitter. At Damian Barling across all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, at Damian Barling, or it's DamianBarling@me.com if you want to send me a lengthy email. Greatly appreciate you being with us. I'll see you next Thursday.